Now we're holding on your days on the days by the Mishnah. We started learning yesterday about the dinim of pigul as they apply to a mincha. So we talked about that you have much the same kinds of things as you have with an animal korban, where you have four avodas during which a thought of chutzas manoi could cause the korban to be pigul. We had the it has to be the Chachamim have said the rule of Ovad Shav Yaakov Amater Kmitzvase, as long as the matir is offered without any other soul. So we talked about what if he has a different thought by some of the other avodas that passels, then it will make the korban pigul but not possible. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda had held if the thought of chutzas mane comes first, then it doesn't matter what happens afterwards. And we went through the whole discussion about what happens if some of the shirayim are missing, what the din would be when we offer the korban, is the korban able to become pigul? So now, continuing on this topic of pigul, the Mishnah is now we had said in the previous Mishnah that whether he has in mind to eat a kezias of it, chutzas manoi, or to burn a kezias of it, chutzas manoi, then either way the korban will be pigul because of that. So now the Mishnah continues. Lecho kachatzi zayis, if he had in mind to eat a half kezayis outside the time, or lahakter kachatzi zayis, and to burn a half kezayis on the mizbeach, kosher, then the korban is kosher, she'ein achilav aktorim etzarifim, because eating and burning don't combine together. The same thing as we learned by animal korbanos. We did learn in Zvachin, there can be where the person has in mind that he'll eat half a kezayis and that the fire in the mizbeach will consume half of a kezayis. Then it does count, but ordinarily, he doesn't have in mind, he doesn't think of it in terms of the mizbeach consuming it, but rather it being burnt on the mizbeach, and that's a different verb than achila, than eating, and therefore they don't combine. So the Gemara says, Taima. So now the Gemara launches into a discussion, which again is similar to something that we learned in Zvachin. Time of the lechol lahakdir. The Mishnah seems to be implying that the only reason the korban is kosher in that case is because he had in mind that he's going to eat part of a kezayis and burn part of a kezayis in both of them chutzas manoi, and because those are two different things, they don't combine. But the implication would be halecho v'lecho. But if he has in mind to eat a half kezayis of the shirayim, and as well as to eat half a kezayis of the koymetz, dovashen davka lecho, even though he's going to be eating halecho v'lecho dovashen davka lecho, implying that he plans to eat part of what's supposed to be eaten, namely the shirayim, and part of what's not supposed to be eaten, namely the koymetz, then it would combine. Otherwise, the Mishnah should have said lecho kachati zayis of the shirayim and lecho kachatzi zayis of what's not meant to be eaten, which would be the bigger chiddush. The question is, v'hakatani reisha. The reisha, the previous Mishnah, had said, lechol dover shadakar lechol, or lahakter dover shadakar lahakter. That only when he has in mind to eat what's supposed to be eaten, the shirayim, and to burn what's supposed to be burned, namely the koymetz. So the Reisha, the previous Mishnah, and our Mishnah, the implication of our Mishnah seems to contradict the statement of the previous Mishnah. And the answer is, so the Gemara says, so man Tana, so who would be the Tana of our Mishnah, that would say that, the question was again that v'hokatoni reisha, but the reisha had said lechol dover shadakel lechol or lahakter dover shadakel lahakter, implying dover shadakel lechol ain, only when it's something which is normally eaten, only then would, if he has in mind to eat it, chutzas manoi, then it becomes pigul. She'ain dakel lechol loy, but if it's not something that's meant to be eaten, namely the koymetz, then no, there wouldn't be. So that contradicts the inference from our Mishnah. Man Tana, so who would be the Tana of the Sefer, namely of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yemiya, Hamani Rabbi Yezer. So Rabbi Yemiya says the answer is that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yezer, the Omar, where he says, Machashu na'achilas Adam, la'achilas mizbeach, or ma'achilas mizbeach la'achilas Adam. He says, in fact, it is perfectly possible to make a korban pigul by having in mind what was supposed to be eaten by the person, and he plans to burn it, or vice versa, what was supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach is meant to be eaten by a person. In other words, he doesn't hold of the rule that we said in the previous Mishnah, lechol dover shadakar lechol, lahakter dover shadakar lahakter, that it has to be specifically, he has in mind to eat what was meant to be eaten, or to burn what was meant to be burnt. Rabbi Eliezer holds that in fact it's equally well pigul if he has in mind to eat what was supposed to be burnt, and vice versa. The Tana, as we learn, at the beginning of the third parak, HaKoymetz HaSamincha, Lechol Dover She'en Dauke Lechol, where he does the Kmitzah having in mind to eat what is not meant to be eaten, namely to eat the koymetz, lahakter dovashen dafka lahakter, or lahakter dovashen dafka lahakter, or he has in mind to burn what was not meant to be burned, the shirayim, which are not to be burned on the mizbeach, kosher, then we say there the korban is kosher because he's having in mind the wrong thing, something to which eating or burning respectively does not apply. Vir Rabbi Eliezer posel, but the Gemara, but Rabbi Eliezer says it's posel. Now, does he say it's posel to the extent that it'll be pigle? That we're going to discuss at the beginning of the third parak, but Rashi says over here, "Ve'ein chayovin olav kares." It'll just be posel. However, it won't be pigle. Therefore, kares won't apply. So the Gemara is going to discuss over there. That point. We'll have it in a few days. Bez Hashem, whether in fact it is posel daraisa, and then it would be subject to pigle, and would be chayav kares, or whether it's only dirabanan. In any case, the Tana of our Mishnah that implies that even if he has in mind Achilas Adam for Achilas Mizbeach for vice versa, that would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. That's Rabbi Yumi's way of explaining the contradiction between the Mishnahs. Abaya Omer, Abaya says you don't need that. Afilu Teimer Rabbanon. You could say that our Mishnah is according to the Rabbanon as well, but the inference that you're making is not in the Mishnah, and instead you can make a different inference. Don't infer from the Mishnah that if he has in mind to eat a half kazayis of shirayim and to eat half kazayis of the koymetz, then the korban would be posel. Ela Ema, rather the inference would be holecho v'lechol dovashen davka lechol. If he has in mind to eat half a kazayis, chutz manoi, and another half kazayis, chutz mekoymoi, then that will combine together to make the korban posel. It won't be pigle, because for pigle you need to have in mind a complete kazayis to eat or to burn beyond the time. But in other words, what you should infer from our Mishnah when it says that if he had in mind to eat a half kazayis and to burn a half kazayis, then it's kosher. The inference would be rather that if he had in mind to eat half of it tomorrow and half of it outside the azara, then the korban will be posel. It won't be pigle, but it will be posel. And in that case, then Rabbi Eliezer doesn't disagree. Then there's no disagreement between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim on that. Well, the question is, my Kamash Malon? Well, in that case, if that's what the Sefer means to tell us, only that inference, then what do we need it for? Habehedya Katani Law. We already learned in the previous Mishnah, Lecho Kazayis Vachutz, Kazayis Vamacher. If he had in mind to eat a Kazayis outside the Azara and a Kazayis the next day, Kazayis Vamacher, Kazayis Vachutz, or the other way around, first he had in mind a Kazayis tomorrow, and then he had in mind a different Kazayis outside, Kachatizayis Vachutz for Kachatizayis Vamacher, or he has in mind a half Kazayis outside and a half Kazayis tomorrow, Kachatizayis Vamacher for Kachatizayis Vachutz, or half a Kazayis tomorrow, and half outside, possible vein by Kardis. Then we say right there, it's possible there's no Kardis. So then in that case, hot true lomali. So what is our Mishnah adding to that? What is our Mishnah adding on top of that? If you're telling me, so what exactly is according to Abaya, what is the point of the Sefer? If the Mishnah wants us to know that when he has in mind to eat a half kazayis from what is supposed to be eaten and a half kazayis from what's not supposed to be eaten, and the Mishnah would be telling us that would combine together. But we already learned earlier in the Mishnah, so if he has in mind to eat something that is not meant to be eaten, then it doesn't work. And again, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it works. But again, Abaya wants to make our Mishnah work according to the Chachamim. And in fact, the Mishnah says, if he had in mind to eat a half kazayis outside and a half kazayis tomorrow is possible, implying that if he has in mind a half kazayis tomorrow and then another half kazayis tomorrow, then it would be pigle. This is in parenthesis, and again, this might be one of those marginal notes that ended up in the Gemara, but the point is that we don't seem to be inferring any chiddush from our Mishnah. On the side over here, it brings that actually the Tosfos actually at the bottom of the previous Omer points out that there seem to have been some mistakes in the way it was copied out in the Gemara over here, and the way it's supposed to be is actually more following the nusach that we learned in the Gemara in the Gemara in Zvachim, where the Gemara says over there that If you're telling me the chiddush is where he eats, where he has in mind to eat a half kazayas of the shirayim, and also to eat another half kazayas of the shirayim, then already we learn that from the Reisha, because we said if he has in mind a half kazayas for chutz and a half kazayas for mocher, then it will be possible, implying that if he has in mind a half kazayas for mocher and a half kazayas for mocher, then it will be pivotal. So in other words, taking out some of the repetitiousness in the Gemara over here. There are slightly other different gersois that Rishonim have, that Achronim have, but the gist of it is, in other words, that the Gemara is asking, there doesn't seem to be a chiddush in our Mishnah. If you say like Rabbi Yirmiya, that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Eliezer, fine, then there's a chiddush in it. We're only going to be presented with Rabbi Eliezer's opinion later in our Masechta, so therefore there's nothing wrong with giving us a preview of it over here. But if you're telling us that, like, as a buyer wants to do, that on Mishnah is according to the Chachamim, then what's the Chiddush in it? So the Gemara tries another possibility. E lefel l'hakdir, and if you want to tell us the Chiddush of the Mishnah is about the case where he has in mind to eat exactly that, the Mishnah is just telling us the actual din itself, that if he has in mind to eat the half kazayas of Shirayim and to burn the half kazayas of the Koimetz, and we're saying it doesn't combine, so in other words, maybe we could say the Mishnah has to tell us a din that we wouldn't have otherwise known. He go for Kamash Malan. You could argue that is the very point that the Mishnah wants to tell us. Not an influence, but just an actual din that we wouldn't have known otherwise. The question is, we would know it. Midiyuk de Reisha Shamek Mina. You can get it from a diuk of the Reisha. The hashtag, when we said in the Reisha that if he has in mind that if he has in mind to eat what is not meant to be eaten, then it doesn't count. So then we can infer from the Reisha, midiuk of the Reisha shamet mina. We can learn it easily enough from a diuk of the Reisha. The hashtag ma lechol v'lechol davashen dagra lechol ma doch, when it comes to eating and to eating a half kazayas and then eating another half kazayas of davashen dagra lechol of something which is not meant to be eaten, a ma to loy mitzarif, and you say it doesn't combine. So if he has in mind a half kazayis of shirayim and a half kazayis of koimetz, then it won't be considered a machshava. How much more so if he has in mind, and that's where he's planning to eat both of them, just one of them is meant to be eaten and the other one not. Lechol hakdim in boya, would it be a chiddush to say that if he has in mind, would it need to be said where he has in mind to eat versus to burn, where those are completely different actions? Of course they wouldn't combine together. So what would be the point of our Mishnah? It can't be to tell us the actual din, because we can easily infer that from the Reisha. It can't be to tell us the dinim about Dovrsha and Dauka Lechol, because again, we can infer that from earlier in the Mishnah. The only way seems to be, like Rabbi Yirmiyah had said, that the Mishnah would be like Rabbi Yazir. But the Gemara answers Ein, as a matter of fact, yes. The chiddush of the Mishnah is indeed lechol hakdir tzlichalei. The chiddush is indeed that if he has in mind to eat a half kazayis of shirayim and to burn a half kazayis of the koimetz, it's tzlichalei. Indeed, the Mishnah does need to tell us there is indeed a chiddush in it. You're thinking that we could infer it from the Reisha, but no. Sakra d'chamina, you would think. You know what? When we talked about earlier to eat what's meant to be eaten versus to burn what's meant to be burned, and on the other hand, if he has in mind to eat what's not meant to be eaten, it won't combine, you could argue exactly that. Because after all, he's trying to think of something that's not meant to be that way. It's not meant to be that you eat the koimetz. It's not meant to be that you burn the shirayim. So sure, if he has in mind that he's going to eat some of the koimetz tomorrow, and also that he's going to eat some of the shirayim tomorrow, and together it'll add up to a gazayas, then we could say that the earlier Mishnah taught us that those don't combine. Aval Hocha, but in our Mishnah, when you're talking about the Baha'i Ki Urcha Kamachashiv, or Baha'i Ki Urcha Kamachashiv, after all, each half kazayis, he is planning to do what is meant to be done with that half kazayis. The one half kazayis is meant to be burnt. The other one is meant to be eaten. So maybe Emel Ekstadif, maybe we should say that they do combine together, Kamash Malan, and that is the Chiddush of the Mishnah that they don't. So you're thinking you could have inferred it from the previous Mishnah, but no, the previous Mishnah was talking about having in mind to eat the koimetz, which is not meant to be eaten, so you would say, yeah, then therefore that's why it doesn't create a thought of pickle. But here where he's having in mind to eat what's meant to be eaten and to burn what's meant to be burned, but neither one a full kazayas, you might have argued that since he's thinking, after all, for each one, it is what's meant to be done with it, and therefore the Mishnah has to, in fact, tell us it's not that we're meant to infer something from it, which then, whatever we infer from it, we could have derived from the earlier Mishnah, but rather the actual din itself, which we would not have been able to infer from the previous Mishnah. And we don't have to say, after all, that the Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Eliezer. Abaya's answer that our Mishnah works according to the Chachamim will work very nicely according to that. Hadron alach kol amenachas. Okay. In our perek, this next perek, we're going to continue with the dinim of pigul. This next perek is only four blot. It's called perek hakoymetzes amincha, and it begins with it because it begins with those words hakoymetzes amincha. The third perek also begins hakoymetzes amincha. That one actually is called hakoymetz rabba because it's much longer. The third perek is over 20 blot long, as opposed to this one is only four blot. But it's going to focus almost entirely on the dinim of pigul, and then we're going to continue with that into the third perek. So the Mishnah starts off hakoymetzes amincha. The kohen takes the koymetz of the mincha lechol shireha, and he has in mind to eat the shirayim or lahakir kumsa, or to burn the koymetz l'machar the next day. So Rabbi Yossi rezesh or pigul b'chayavon al koris. So Rabbi Yossi will agree. Now, Rabbi Yossi is going to disagree in the Mishnah, in the continuation of the Mishnah, about the Levoina, but he agrees where he has in mind to eat the Shirayim or to burn the Koymetz the next day. Then Rabbi Yossi agrees that the Mincha will be piggled by virtue of that. He's going to argue as far as the Levoina, as we're going to say next in the Mishnah, but he agrees as far as the Koymetz for reasons that we'll explain in the Gemara. So Tosfos points out, by the way, that in the Gemara that we learned yesterday, the Gemara had gone through a long discussion about a brisa of Rav Chiya that didn't mention the words oy kezayis, that didn't mention what he had in mind to eat a kezayis of the shirayim or to burn a kezayis of the koymetz, and we discussed why not. Here Tosfos says that's not really relevant. Once we already learned that in the Mishnah, in the previous parak, then there's no reason for our Mishnah to repeat that point again. Yes, we could say that he has in mind to eat the shirayim or a kezayis of the shirayim or to burn the koymetz or a kezayis of the koymetz, but we already know that from the previous parak. Okay, now the Mishnah continues. What about if he doesn't have in mind to burn the koymetz tomorrow, but he has in mind to burn the levoina tomorrow, the levoina which accompanies the mincha? Rabbi Yossi, I'm a possible for by chorus. However, so Rabbi Yossi says that it will be possible, so it won't be piggle, but it will be possible, and therefore it's possible midrabanan, and therefore there's no chorus. So now we have to think of like this. We have to realize that Gemara is going to explain to us that when it comes to an animal korban, essentially you have now we learned in Zvachim that. That pigul requires that the thought, first of all, we learned in the previous parak here in Armasechta, but we also learned in Zvachim that you need the matir, that the key thing with pigul is that you have the matir, the thing that makes the korban mutter, was done with the thought of chutzus manai. Now, when it comes to an animal korban, you have only one matir. You have the sprinkling of the blood. We learned in Zvachim, we learned in some detail, there are certain korbanos where you have multiple sprinklings that are required, but basically it's all one thing, the blood that is the matir. As opposed to with a mincha, you have two matir, and you have to offer the koymetz and you have to offer the levoina. So the way of looking at it, as we're going to see in the Gemara, why Rabbi Yossi argues about the levoina versus the koymetz, but he holds when he does the koymetz, having in mind that he's going to burn the levoina tomorrow, so he's thinking from one part of the matter to the other. He's thinking from an avoider with the koymetz to the levoina, from one matter to the other. So Rabbi Yossi says that will be possible, but not pickled. So that's what Rabbi Yossi holds. V'chamem pigul v'chayav nalav koris. From hold it will be full fledged pigul. Actually, also daraisa, and a person will be chayav koris for it. Omruloy, because the Chacham said to Rabbi Yossi, Mashina zemen azevach. After all, why should the mincha be any different than an animal korban? When he shechts an animal korban or does any of the avodas of that, having in mind that he's going to burn the emunim tomorrow, then it's 100% pigul, because we learned lahakdu dava shadakdu lahakdu. If he has in mind to burn what is meant to be burnt, well, by a mincha you have the levoina is meant to be burnt as well. Why shouldn't it be pigul? So, in fact, Shittim Kovetzes points out, the same way as by Mincha, we're saying there are two matirim, because you need the koymetz and the levoina, the same way the Chachamim are arguing, listen, in order to be able to eat the meat of the korban, you need the blood to be sprinkled, and you need the emurim to be offered on the mizbeach. So we see that by an animal carbon, you have two matirim, and therefore by a mincha, where you also have two matirim, why shouldn't it be that he has in mind, during the avodah, one of them, to do chutzas manah, but the other one, why should it not make it pigul? Tosfos actually discusses, and says that Tosfos further on discusses, and says that no, we don't really consider the emurim to be a matir in the sense that it's true you're supposed to offer the emurim before you eat the meat. But let's say the emurim became tomei or what have you. Let's say you sprinkled the blood and then the emurim became tomei. Or we actually learned previously, even if they became tomei before the sprinkling, you can still, as long as you have the meat, you can still go ahead and sprinkle. So we see that the emurim are not always a necessary prerequisite in order to eat the meat, and therefore we can't really consider them a matir. The fact is, though, that according to that way of looking at it, then the idea would be that, in other words, you see that you can have pigul from one thing to a completely unrelated thing, blood to emurim, so why shouldn't it be koimet silavoyna? Amalahan, so he answers them, shazavach domo of sort of emurim echon, because the difference is, when it comes to an animal carbon, the meat and the emurim and the meat and the blood and the meat and the emurim are all one thing. They all came from the same animal. So therefore, machshava about one of them will be effective on the other. Ulevoina ain't a min mincha. The levoina is not part of the mincha per se. The mincha itself is flour and oil. It's topped with levoina. It has levoina sprinkled on it, but it's not an actual part of the mincha. It was added only afterwards. Therefore, he says it's not really the same thing. So following the Shittim Kubetzis' way of learning it a bit, in other words, the idea would be, after Rabbi Yossi is answering, sure, the emurim make the meat mutter to eat. You know why? Because they themselves are made mutter to offer because of the blood. So in other words, you can't offer the emurim until you sprinkle the blood. As opposed to with the levoina, it's not, you don't need something else to be matir at first. You don't have to first offer the koimets in order to offer the levoina. It makes the shirayim mutter to eat once you offer both of them. So there are two unrelated matirim. One of them is not dependent on the other, unlike the emurim are dependent on the blood, and therefore Rabbi Yossi argues I have reason to draw a distinction between them. Okay. So the Gemara says, let's discuss this point. Lomali the Mishnah. First, let's begin with the beginning of the Mishnah. We said that if he does the Kmitza, having in mind that he's going to eat the Shirayim or burn the Koimetz tomorrow, we say Rabbi Yossi agrees that that's Pigul. So the Gemara says, Lomali the Mishnah, Moed Rabbi Yossi Vizu. Why does the Mishnah have to mention that Rabbi Yossi agrees with it? Where did we see that? Where did we see up to this point that he was disagreeing? In other words, the Chidushim Am Yechosim La Rashba explained, the Gemara's question is, the Mishnah should have said it like this. Where he has in mind to eat the Shirayim, where he does the Kmitza, and has in mind to eat the Shirayim or burn the Kmitz tomorrow, then it's Pigul. And just say that as a blanket statement, and then say, when he has in mind to burn the Levoina, Rabbi Yossi says, Posel Ve'in Be'Kodes, and then we would understand automatically that Rabbi Yossi agrees in the first case. Why does the Mishnah have to spell out that Rabbi Yossi agrees? And the answer is exactly that. Mishum de kabori la mishnah sefer, because the mishnah is going to continue lahakta la venasa la machar Rabbi Yossi and apostle la embekaris. Now, without the mishnah telling us that Rabbi Yossi agrees in the first place, mao de tema, you might have thought to say that the reason why Rabbi Yossi says tema de Rabbi Yossi, the reason why Rabbi Yossi says that it's not going to be pigul where he has in mind with the levoina, mishum de kosava ein mefagrin b'chatzi matir, because he would hold it's impossible to make it pigul with only half of the matir. Namely, here you have, there are two matirim. In order to be able to eat the shirayim, you have to offer the koimetz and you have to offer the levoina. And we're going to have... So we learned in Zvachim, and we're going to learn in our Perek as well, that you can have a case where you have, there you have actually within an Avoida, we learned in Zvachim, there can be a case where within the Avoida itself, you have two different parts. Like, for example, Shchita, where you have to cut through two pipes. So then we can talk about Chatzi Matir or not. That we're going to have a discussion of later on in our Perek. We're going to have where you have the two sheep that go together with Shtei Alechem, where if he had a thought of pigul about only one of them, we're going to have a machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim. Rashi points out later on Daf Yud Daled that, after all, kmitza all by itself is a complete avoida. You don't do kmitza with the levoina. So now, Rabbi Yossi can say, So now we can be talking about that maybe Rabbi Yossi holds in the Fagla b'chatzi matir, when even though you have a complete avoida of k'mitza, nevertheless, because that's only one of the two matirim, therefore it's impossible to make the korban pigle with that, you might have thought that's Rabbi Yossi's reasoning. And therefore that would mean Rabbi Yossi would have to argue in the beginning, in the first part of the Mishnah as well. So in other words, the Gemara is going to go on to point out that we'll learn it on Daf Yudalad Bez Hashem. Then in fact, we are going to have this point about Rabbi Meir's Ein Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir. Rabbi Yossi doesn't agree with that. Rabbi Yossi says it is possible to make it piggle with only half the matir. The reason he disagrees with Levoina is a different point. But if the Mishnah had not spelled out that Rabbi Yossi agrees when it comes to the Kometz, then we would have thought his reason is, like Rabbi Meir, Ein Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir, that it's impossible to make it piggle unless he has in mind something about the entire matir, which in this case would be both the Koimitz and the Levoina. So then, in that case, Vafilu Reishanami, in that case, Rabbi Yossi would have to disagree in the Reisha as well. Because after all, in the Reisha as well, he has in mind to burn only the Koimitz tomorrow. He doesn't have anything in mind about the Levoina. So he's only having in mind Chatzi Matir. So if the Mishnah had not told us that Rabbi Yossi agrees in that case, we would have thought he actually disagrees in that case as well. And in fact, the Tosfos Yom Tov points out that even though Rabbi Yossi mentions in the Mishnah, he says the fact is the Levoina is not part of the Mincha, we would have thought that he's explaining even you Chachamim, who maybe hold Mefagla and Mechatzi Matir, you should agree in the case of Levoina, where Levoina is not part of the Mincha itself, it's just a topping to it, unlike the blood and meat and the Imurim of an animal. But we wouldn't have known that he himself holds that it is possible to make it piggle with only Chatzi Matir. We would have thought he holds that in order to make it piggle, he has to have in mind the entire Matir, Koimitz and Levoina, and in that case, he argued in both halves of the Mishnah. Therefore, Kamash Malon, therefore the Mishnah needs to tell us, the Bahal Moida, that in the Reisha, he does actually agree, so it's not a matter of Mefaglin b'Chatzi Matir or not, he does in fact hold that it's possible to make it piggle with only half the matir, which would mean, again, that when we have later in the perek, when we have a different case of chatzi matir, the two kvasim and the shtei alechem, Rabbi Yossi will in fact agree with the chachamim against Rabbi Meir that is enough to make it piggle. Rabbi Yossi's reasoning in our Mishnah is a different point, namely, as the Gemara is going to go on to explain, a concept called ein matir mefago matir, that one matir is not able to make the other one piggle. Meaning, in other words, that when he has in mind, when he's doing the k'mitza, which is one part of the matir, that he's having in mind the levoina, which is a different part of the matir, then it's impossible to make it piggle that way, Rabbi Yossi would hold. But not, in other words, the difference is, ein mefaglin b'chatzi matir would mean in either direction. Doesn't matter whether one is matir the other or whether they're completely independent. Either way, he would say that it's not possible to make it piggle, which would be like what Rameo holds later on in the Perek. Rameir would hold that it is possible to make piggle with Chatzi Matir. So what we'd be saying, in other words, is Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah is saying he does agree with that concept. I got that backwards. He does agree with that concept, but he holds only over there where each one of them is completely independent, as opposed to here where one of them is Matir the other. Then he says you can't do from one Matir to the other Matir. So that's the point. In our Mishnah, therefore, so now, when it comes to Koimetz versus Levoina, they're not completely independent. The Koimetz is, in turn, a matter of the Levoina, because in order to offer the Levoina, you have to offer the Koimetz. And therefore, he says it's not possible to make it piggle that way. Okay. Now, we have continued in the Mishnah, L'hachter L'vernasa L'macha, so now let's get deeper into that Machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. We said that when he does the k'mitza, having in mind to burn the Levoina tomorrow, Rabbi Yossi says it's possible, but not piggle, and there's no kardis. So, what's the reasoning? Omer Shlokish, like we just said, Omer Hoy Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi used to say, now many times Omer Hoya means that a certain Chacham would say something over and over again. When you find in Pirkei Avos, it says about all the Chachamim that Hoya Omer, he used to say, means he would say it often. here Rashi is saying it doesn't really mean that. It just means that the reason of Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah is as we just said, in matter mefagel as a matter. One matter cannot create piggle with the other matter. So because each one is needed for the shiraim to be able to be eaten, and therefore it's not possible during the avoda of one to have in mind to him having in mind chutz mane, but the other one will not make it piggle. V'chein ata omer v'shnei bezichel avonish alachem aponim. Rabbi Yossi would hold the same thing when it comes to the two spoonfuls of Lavona that go with the Lachem Aponim, same thing. You need both of them to be offered on the Mizbeach for the Lachem Aponim to be eaten. She'ein matir mefagol as a matir. The same idea. One matir cannot be mefagol the other. So if he had in mind when he's offering one of them, and he has in mind, having in mind that he's going to offer the other one tomorrow, that will not be the kind of thing that will make it pickle. So that's how Rashi learns. A couple of Rishonim disagree with Rashi on that. Hitam Kovetsis points out, even if we were to say that that kind of thing does work, but it doesn't work when you're burning one thing to have in mind when you're burning the other, and therefore this isn't going to work anyway. So even if it weren't a matter of chatzi matzah, it's just a matter of you having in mind during the burning of one to burn the other, and therefore that wouldn't work on those grounds anyway. And Chedushim and Yechosim La Rashba points out that it's also Chatzi Matir. So they explain that what it means is when he takes that spoon off the Shulchan, he has in mind during the taking it off of the Shulchan, which we learned in the previous Perek is sort of the equivalent of Kmitza. At that time, he has in mind to burn the other one, to burn the other one Chutzis Manim. So now, in other words, when he took them off, he had in mind about he had about both of them chutzis manay, but during one he was thinking about burning the other one, and during taking off the second one he had in mind about burning the first one. So as Sfasemis brings another possibility, it could be while he's walking them both to the Mizbeach, which is also an avoda. So we don't have to say like Rashi, and anyway, all of them say, we don't have to say like Rashi, that it means when he's burning one, he has in mind about burning the other one, because that wouldn't necessarily make it piggle anyway. But rather we mean when he's doing an Uri or avoda with one of them, taking it off the Shulchan, or walking it, then he has in mind to burn the other one. So now Rabbi Yossi is saying it's impossible during the avodah of one matir to make the other matir, to make the other, to have in mind about the other matir, and thereby make the korban piggle, and therefore that's the reason why Rabbi Yossi says in our Mishnah, when he does the kmitza, having in mind to burn the lavona tomorrow, then it won't make it piggle. So the Gemara says, "My v'chein ata omer." Fine, but what does Rish Lakish mean when he says, "And so you have to say"? Yeah, it seems very obvious. That's the same thing. And the answer is Ma'u Detema. Without Rish Lakish telling us that, you would have thought Taima de Rabbi Yosi v'Lavoina. You know what? Maybe Rabbi Yosi is talking only about Lavoina. Mishum de'lav mina de mincha hu, because he said in the Mishnah, it's not the same species as the mincha, because the mincha is flour and this is Lavoina. But when you have the two spoonfuls of Lavoina on the Shulchan, and both of them after all are Lavoina, maybe Rabbi Yossi would say it is possible to have in mind during the avoda of one of them to make the other one pickle. Therefore, the Shlokish wants you to know that it's not so. Rabbi Yossi doesn't actually care whether they're the same species or not. As long as both of them are matirin, it's impossible during the avoda of one of them to make the other one, to have a thought that would make the other one and the korban as a whole pickle. But the Gemara says, what do you mean? You're telling me that Rabbi Yossi's reasoning why he allows it by the case of the Lavoina is not because it's a different species. The fact is, in our Mishnah, he said it is. V'hokatani Sefer, the Sefer of our Mishnah said, Omruloi mashimsa minazevach, the Chacham asked Rabbi Yossi, why are you saying that Lavoina should be any different than a korban? The same way, again, as we said, you can have in mind, during the zrika of the blood of a korban, you can have in mind that the murin will be burnt beyond the time, and that makes it pickle. Why should it be any different than taking the kmitza and having in mind about the Lavoina? And he answers them, Hazevach Domo of Sar of Emurim Echad, because by a korban, the blood and the meat and the Emurim are all one thing, they all came from the same animal, while Lavoina Einem Mina Mincha, whereas Lavoina is not from the Mincha. So we see that he clearly says that, so he clearly makes that distinction between something that is the same species and not. So what are you telling me, the Shlokesh, that he doesn't consider that to be a factor, and therefore that even when they are the same species, namely the two spoonfuls of Lavona by the Lachem Aponim, he will also say that one can't make the other one pickle. Why? Based on our Mishnah, he would say that whenever they're two different species, if one can't make the other pickle, but when they are, then they could. The answer is, when Rabbi Yossi uses the expression in the Mishnah, what he means is, my Eina min ha-mincha. What does he mean? That it's not from the Mincha. He means Eina be'ikul mincha. He means that when it comes to a korban, the blood makes the emurim mutter, and therefore if he has in mind the emurim during that avodah of the blood, then it's not two matirin. It's one that depends on the other. But lavoina is not. But lavoina is not dependent on the koinets. The lavoina can be offered independently of the koinets. So my ena mena mincha ena be ikul mincha. It's not something that prevents the mincha from being offered. Now what does that mean? Delav ki heifid ma'akiv lahu koymus l'shirayim. Now it's not like the way we have when it could, don't think that the lavoina is like the shirayim. In other words, in the sense that the lavoina cannot be offered until the koymus is offered. To kama delav mix miskata koymus l'nisach l'shirayim. You're going to think the same way as until the koymus is offered, you can't eat the shirayim. Hachinami ma'akiv l'lavoina. You would think maybe the same thing. The koymus blocks the lavoina from being offered until the koymus is offered, the lavona can't be offered. If not so, then if that were the case, then yes, the relationship between koymus and lavona would be exactly the same as between blood and emurim, and we would say the same way as by avoda of blood, it's possible to think about the emurim and thereby make pigul the same way you would have by the koymus and lavona. But the fact is, it's not like that. Ela iboy hai makta beresha, iboy hai makta beresha. The fact is, you could offer either one in whichever order he wants. He does have to take the koymus first, but he does not have to offer the koymus first. He could instead choose to offer the lavoina first. Achronim talk about that the Gemara in Sota talks about that you are supposed to put the lavoina on the koymus and burn it. So one possibility is that l'chachila you should do that, but b'dievet it's fine even if you did the lavoina separately. Others say that sometimes you have different sugyas that argue on a fundamental point, and this might be one of them. The sugya in Sota would be saying that you have to offer the lavoina together with the koymus, whereas our sugya would be saying that in fact you could offer them independently. So if we say that you can offer if you're going to say that you can offer them independently, well then, in that case, then they're two separate matirim. So unlike blood and emurim, which are where one depends on the other, here neither one depends on the other, and therefore, so in other words, when Rabbi Yossi says lavoina enam and amincha, he doesn't mean because they're different species. He means because one is not dependent on the other, unlike with animal korbanos. Okay, so once we understand Rav Yossi that way, then Rav Shlokesh can use that as a basis to say that it's the same thing as Lavoina to the Koymets, where one does not depend on the other, so it is also with the two Bozich Lavoina of Lachem Aponim. It's true, both of them have to be offered in order to eat the Lachem Aponim, just like both the Koymets and Lavoina have to be offered in order to eat the Shirayim, but neither bozich, neither spoonful of Torah depends on the other. You can offer them in whichever order you want, just as with the koymus and lavoina, you could offer them in whichever order you want. V'Rabbanan, what are the Rabbanan answer to all of that? They say, no. You know when you would say that one matir cannot be mefagel the other? That would be where we're going to have later in the parak, where he shechted one of the two sheep that go together with the shtei lechem, having in mind where he's going to eat from the other one tomorrow, the amot shneim ksherim, and we're going to say later on in this parak that they are both kosher. That's not considered, unlike the mayor who's going to say later in the parak that makes them pigle, the chachamim are going to say it does not. But that would be, this is in parenthesis, again, Shittim Kubetzis takes it out, again, it might be one of those notes that made it into the Gemara, whatever, that would be, you know what, though, that's different with the two sheep. It was never made a kvius between them that they were placed in one container. They're brought together with the Shtei Alechem, we're going to talk about later in the Masechta, they're waved with the Shtei Alechem and so forth. But the fact is, they were never placed in a keli and therefore made all one unit. Aval hecha de ikbu b'chad mana, but where they were established all together in one keli, the koimitz and the levona at one point were all together in one keli. So therefore, k'chad dami, therefore they would be considered, say the chachamim, like one big matter, even though it's true, they are separate things. The koimitz and the levona, you're right, we agree with you, Rabbi Yossi, that they are independent, and you could offer either one without the other, but the fact that they were both in one keli makes them, to that extent, like one unit, and therefore it's possible to have a machshava from one of them to the other, and make it pigle. Now, then the question would be, what about the shnei bezicha levona? And the vote would be, because even though those are two separate containers, they're both on the Shulchan. And the Shulchan is one keli, so therefore it's also considered one keli. Although Rabbeinu Gershom learns differently, Rabbeinu Gershom on our Gemara actually learns differently and says that in fact it would come out, according to that, we would ignore the fact that the two bazichim are on the Shulchan, we would focus on the fact that each one is a keli of its own, and therefore in fact the Chachamim would agree with Rish Lakish's presentation of Rabbi Yossi and say that they would agree that those, one of them can't make the other one pigle either, and the Machlokas would only be as far as the Levoina versus the Koimetz of the Mincha. So in other words, we have three cases over here. We have the case of the Koimetz and Levoina of the Mincha, we have the case of the Shnei Bezicha Levoina of the Lechem Aponim, and we have the two Kvasim that go with the Shnei Lechem. Reb Yossi would hold that in none of those three cases is one of them able to make the other one pickle. The Chachamim would hold, when it comes to the Levoina and the Koimetz, you could. It is possible during the offering of the Koimetz to have in mind the Levoina and thereby make the Korban pigle. On the other hand, when it comes to the Shnei Kvasim, they agree that having in mind one of them during the Shchita of the other will not make it pigle. When it comes to the Shnei Bezichin, then you have the different ways that the Shoyim look at it, whether the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Yossi compare them to the two kvasim, or whether they would disagree with him and compare it to the levoina and the koimetz of the mincha because they were on the shulchan together. Okay. Now, since we're talking about the levoina, let's talk about, so the way it works is when you bring a mincha, you have the flour mixed with the oil, and then on top of it, you have levoina sprinkled on it. So we're saying that what the Kohen has to do, we learned in the previous Perek that the Koimetz itself cannot contain any Levoina, so you have to move all the Levoina off to the side, or pick it off, take it off the Mincha, and then do the Kmitza. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yanai, liquid Levoina, bizarre, if a Zur collected that Levoina in order to gather it together and offer it on the Mizbeach, posel, then that would be a posel Avoida. So the question is, my time or why? That's not one of the four avodas. We said the four avodas of a mincha are kmitza, kiddush b'kli charis, you have to place the koimetz into another keli, you bring it over to the mizbeach halacha, and you burn it on the mizbeach is haktara, is the equivalent of sprinkling the blood. Picking off the levona and collecting it is not an avoda. What's the problem if a zor does it? The answer is Amr Rabbi Yemiya Mishum Halacha Naguba, because the Chachamim considered it to be something of the avoda of Halacha. Halacha is bringing it over to the Mizbeach. So here, picking Levona and collecting it together is considered kind of the equivalent of Halacha. Kasavar, namely that Rabbi Yanai holds Halacha Shloim Beragol Shema Halacha. The same way we learned in Zvachin about suppose the Kohen passes the blood closer to the Mizbeach, but without walking with his feet. We talked about in Zvachim that there was an opinion that that's still considered halacha. Well, Rabbi Yanai holds the same thing. Therefore, the Zor doesn't have to be walking with his feet, but he's bringing the Levoina closer to being offered on the Mizbeach, because like this is scattered all over the Mincha, and now he's collecting it in order to burn it. So therefore, Rabbi Yanai would hold that that is considered a part of halacha, and therefore it's halacha. So he holds that the halacha shalabir agar shema halacha, he holds that doing halacha without walking is considered a halacha, and the halacha b'zor psula, and we know that halacha is one of the avodas, that if a zor does it, it's possible. Therefore, Rabbi Yanai, following that way of looking at it, holds that if the zor collected the levoina, it will be possible. Rabbi Mori says, in fact, we can see that from the Mishnah in the previous Torah. We said Zahakfal, the rule was, any time that the Kohen does the Avodah of Knitza, or placing it in the Kehli, or walking it over to the Mizeach, or burning it. And then he said those are the four Avodahs during which it's possible to make the Korban to be pickled. And we see that those parallel the four Avodahs of an animal Korban. Now, b'shleima koymetz hainu shochet. We can understand that taking the kmitza is in a way similar to shochet. Namely, you've actually explained, when you shecht an animal, you're separating out, you have the blood, which is going to be the part that's given to Hashem, and you're separating it from the flesh. So kmitza, where you're taking out the koymetz, which is going to be Hashem's portion, is similar in that sense, is similar conceptually to shechitim. Moilach nami hainu moilach. That moilach to walk over the koimetz and the mizbeach shur. That's the equivalent of moilach when it comes to the blood. Makdir hainu zodik, and throwing it onto the fire and burning it is the equivalent of throwing the blood on the mizbeach. Ela, noisin bekli, maika ovid, but we have to ask, why is placing the koimetz and the keli considered a significant avoda? Maika ovid, after all, what is he accomplishing? Ilema mishim the domi la Kabbalah. Are you going to say that it's considered similar to Kabbalah? No, me dummy. It's not what you say. It's not, how can you say it's the same thing at all? Hossam Mimela. When it comes to Kabbalah, the blood automatically falls into the Kehli. You shecht, and as we learned in Zvachim, you shecht with the animal's neck directly above the Kehli, and therefore the blood automatically gushes out and goes into the Kehli. Hocha kashoko v'rami. Here the Kohen has to take the koimetz and place it into the Kehli. So it's not really the same thing at all. Why should it be considered an avoda? Ela, so the Mori explained, the inference we can learn is as follows. Mishum de kibin de la sagule de la ovadla. Rather, we have to say the reason why putting it in the klisharis is considered an essential avoda, one of the four avodas, is because it's impossible without that. You have to place the klimas in a klisharis in order for it to get the full kedusha of the klimas. Avoda chashuvi, and therefore it's considered an important avoda. Well, and therefore our purpose in shavi lok the Kabbalah. Of necessity, therefore, it has to be considered the equivalent of Kabbalah. You're right, it's not exactly the same, because the way that the klimas gets into the keli is not exactly the way the blood gets into the container. Nevertheless, they do have this in common. Both of them are a necessary prerequisite to do the next avoda. You can't do the zrika of the blood unless you caught on a keli, as we learned in Zvachim, if the blood lands on the floor directly out of the neck. And it's going to be possible. Similarly, if the koimetz was not placed in a keli, according to the Chachamim, we learned before, we talked in the previous parak a little bit, we're going to learn more in the third parak, that's the Shem that Reb Shimon disagrees, but according to the Chachamim, the fact is, the koimetz has to be placed in a kli shoris, and that's an essential prerequisite, necessary prerequisite, to do the next avodah. So therefore, of necessity, we have to consider it to be like Kabbalah. Well then, so therefore, Hachanami, well, the same thing as far as collecting the Lavoina. The fact is, you can't offer the Lavoina without doing that, without somebody collecting it from the surface of the Mincha. Therefore, of necessity, Avodah Chashuvah, it must be considered an important Avodah, and therefore, of necessity, we have to consider it to be part of the Avodah of Halacha. We can't very well consider it Kabbalah, but we can consider it part of Halacha. In other words, the fact that he collected and gave it to the Kohen means that, so Rashi uses the expression actually, that when he did that, he made that now the Kohen has to walk less. In other words, the implication of what Rashi is saying would actually be that it's only when he handed it to the Kohen and therefore now the Kohen has to walk less. So the implication would seem to be that if he just collects it and holds it in his hand, Then in fact, it wouldn't necessarily be a problem. So it comes out, in other words, it comes out. Achronim talk about that it might be that the two opinions over here, Rabbi Yumia and Rabbi Mori, actually disagree with one another. Rabbi Yumia would be saying that the collection on alone would be possible because mishum halacha, whereas Rabbi Mori would be saying that what he's accomplishing is actually he's giving it through the Kohen, and therefore making that the Kohen has to walk less. So the Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer Lekutei Halachos explains that in fact, that's like this, we have the Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Yumia. that if the Zohar collects the Levoina, it's possible. On the other hand, the Rambam also paskins, we learned this in Zvachim, that halacha has to be done on foot. There's no such thing as halacha without walking. And therefore, we talked about in connection with the Korban Pesach, even the Koranim are handing the bowls of blood one to the other. Each one has to move his feet a little bit in order to get closer to the Mizeach, otherwise it won't be considered a halacha. So that explains, the Chofetz Chaim explains that's how the Rambam can paskin like Rabbi Yirmiyah, but yet also say that halacha has to be done with the foot, because he would understand, like Rabbi Mori's understanding of Rabbi Yirmiyah, it's not just the fact that the Zohar collected the Levoina, but also the fact that he walked it closer to the Mizbeach. On the other hand, other Achronim talk about that maybe in fact just the fact that the Zohar alone collected it is considered more like the Kmitza rather than like the Halacha, and therefore it wouldn't matter whether he walked or not, because of course the Kmitza doesn't require walking at all. So the Gemara says, Loi, not necessarily do we have to accept Ramori's inference that collecting the Levoina is like Halacha. La'olam d'domi l'kabbalah. We could, in fact, say that placing the koimetz in the kli shoris is considered like Kabbalah. And so it's not a matter of whether it's a necessary prerequisite. In fact, it is actually considered the equivalent of Kabbalah. Or de kokashalah. And you ask me, the difference is that in the case of the blood, it gushes in there on its own, whereas here you have to pick it up and put it in there. No. The difference is, mechti, let's consider it, tavayu, kedushas klihu. Both of them, the purpose of it is to give the blood or the koimetz the kedusha of a keli. Because, as we learned in Zvachim, the kelim of the Beis Mikdash, the clay shardas, are mekadesh what's placed inside them when it belongs there. So therefore, mali memela, mali koshoko verami. So who cares then? Whether it fell in there by itself or whether he put it in there. Either way, the fact is it's getting into a keli and gets the kedusha of the kli shoris over there. And therefore, in fact, we can say the fact that putting the koimetz in the keli is considered the equivalent of Kabbalah is because of that. And therefore, we don't really care. We don't care how it fell in, but therefore, we're not going to say that anything that is a necessary prerequisite for an avoda is necessarily considered an avoda, and therefore, if a Zohar does it as possible, in fact, we could say that even things that are necessary, as long as they're not one of the actual four avodas, are not going to possible, and therefore, not necessarily do we have to say that would apply to the Zohar collecting the Levoina. So again, in the end, the Rambam does paskin that if the Zohar collects the Levoina, it is possible. And you have this discussion about whether he would say that's only if the Zohar actually walks it, but hands it to the Kohen, and therefore makes now the Kohen has to walk less than the Mizbeach, or whether it would apply across the board that always him collecting the Levoina is enough to make the Kohen possible. So the Mishnah starts, so the Mishnah says, next Mishnah, let's talk more about this matter of pigle with only part of the matter of a korban. Shochat shnei kvasim. So again, when it comes to Shavuos, you have the shnei alechem, and the shnei alechem are brought together with two chalos of chometz. We're going to learn about the details of them later on in our Masechta. There are two loaves of bread, they're made chometz, nothing of them is actually brought on the Mizbeach, because you never bring chometz on the Mizbeach, but the shnei kvasim are shechted, they're waved together with the chalos, and then they're shechted, the usual thing is done with them, as with most korbanos, the blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, they murim aburit, and the kohenim eat those are the zivchei shamut tzibur that we learned about in Ezer Mekoyman, and that we say every day in davening, and they eat the two kvasim together with the two chalos. There's a bunch of other korbanos that are brought together with the shnei alechem as well, mostly oilless in one chatas. In Shavuos Musaf, when we mention the korbanos of the day, we mention you have two sets of korbanos that are brought on Shavuos. You have a regular Musaf, just like you do every other Yom Tov, and then you have the korbanos that come together with the Shtei Alechem. In Yom Tov Davening, in Musaf, we don't actually talk about the Shtei Alechem. We don't mention them in Musaf, because they're really a separate korban, they're not part of Musaf per se. However, we do mention in Shavuos, in the Alter Rebbe's Nusach, or Shnei Se'irim L'chaper, that on that day, two goats are brought as a kapara, because one of them part of the regular Musafim, and one of them together with the Shtei Alechem. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden has in his Siddur that it's appropriate to say the sections of the Torah and the sections of the Halacha that talk about the Shtei Alechem and their details, but the Alter Rebbe did not include those in the Siddur. Okay, so now let's talk about again. So we have two kvasim together with two chalas. And again, we also have the lacham aponim. We have two bazichim together with the two stacks of lacham aponim. So let's talk about those. Shachat shnei kvasim, if he shechted the two sheep that go with the shtei lechem, now Rashi points out we're focusing on the two sheep because only those are needed in order for the shtei lechem to be eaten. There are a bunch of other korbanos that are brought together with the shtei lechem, but later in on the sechta, we're going to learn that what makes the bread kodesh is only when the two kvasim are shechted, because those two kvasim are waved together with the shtei lechem, and therefore they're considered an integral part of it, whereas the rest of the korbanos, they have to be brought, but they're not what's matir the lechem. Only the two kvasim of the shalmei tzibur. So now, if he shechted the two kvasim lechal achas min achalas v'machon, and he has in mind during the shechting of those sheep that he plans to eat one of the chalas of the shtei lechem the next day, which is beyond the time. Similarly, when he burns one of the bazichim, having in mind that he's going to eat one of the two stacks of lacham aponim the next day. And again, the lacham aponim is only meant to be eaten on Shabbos. So then you have a similar machlokas to the previous Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi says the particular chala of the shtei lechem, or the particular snack of lacham aponim that he thought about, will be pigul, chayov nalav kares, and will be chayav kares. Vasheni, where's the other one? Posel v'ein by kares. The other one will only be posel. But he won't be chayav kares for it. Here we have the different mafoshim talk about when the chacham say it's posel, is it posel midrabanan or is it posel midaraisa? Different achronim talk about ins and outs of that. The chacham is there is a pigul chayav nalav kares, whereas the chacham say both of them are going to be pigul and kares will apply. Now the Mishnah had talked about where he plans to eat one stack of lacham aponim, meaning there are two stacks of them, six lacham aponim in each one, and the question is where he has in mind to eat one stack chutzlas manri. What about if he has in mind to eat one particular chala among them? Tosfos says the same din would apply. Tosfos says the same din would apply. We don't just mean one stack, we mean even one individual chala. The reason why we mention one stack is because we're saying that the chiddush is, we want to say that even Rabbi Yossi is going to say he had in mind an entire stack of lachem upon him, and you might say that's half a lachem upon him, and one whole, and then it's one with the, which are, one whole bozich went together with it. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi says it's only going to be, only that one is going to be table, and not the other one. The chum are going to say that both of them are pigul. So it's a greater chiddush to mention that when it's one entire stack, but in fact Tosfos says the same din would apply even if he had in mind one particular loaf, or even one particular loaf of lechem upon him. On the other hand, other Rishonim learn different chiddushim amiyuchasim la Rashba say, and Shittim Kobetzis brings from a different collection of Tosfos, that no, if he had in mind only one chala, Rabbi Yossi would say only that chala becomes pigul, because each one is a separate thing of its own. So, on the other hand, the Keren Oira says that based on the Gemara further on, it'll come out that actually each stack is considered one guf, and therefore we're back to what Tosfos says over here, which is that if he has in mind even one challah from the stack, then the whole thing would become pigul, even according to the Biesi, but only that stack, whereas according to the Chum, both of them. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Omer Rabbi Yona, Omer Hoyer Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi used to say, That now, unlike at the top of the Omud, where we had the expression Omer Hoyer Rabbi Yossi, and that was meant to explain Rabbi Yossi's reasoning in the Mishnah, here Rav Huna is saying an independent statement that he had the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim that Rabbi Yossi holds this way. This is how Kedushim Amichasim La'arachba says. So Omer Hoyer Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi used to say a new din that we don't specifically have in the Mishnah, but which we can relate to our Mishnah. Pigol b'yerach shayamin. If he had in mind when he's doing the avoda of the korban, one of the four avodas, and he has in mind, for example, to eat the, to he thinks that he plans to eat the right thigh of the animal, then Rabbi Yossi would hold that the left thigh does not become tigel, and he would be chayiv kares for eating it. Each one would be a separate unit of its own. My timer. Now, why is that? You would think if he had in mind pigle on the korban, the whole thing becomes pigle. Rabbi Huna says he boi same a svar, svar of he boi same a kara. If you want, I can give you a svara for this. If you want, I can give you a posip. He boi same a svara. Loya difa machshava mi maisa tuma. The thought of pigle cannot be stronger than a maisa of tuma. Now, either itami chad aver, imagine if one particular aver of a korban became tame, mi itami lekula, would the whole thing become tame? If they're connected, yes, but if they're disconnected, then no. Just because one piece becomes tame, the whole thing, if they're not connected, doesn't become tame. So therefore, by the same token, just because he had a thought of pigle about one of them, doesn't mean that it should affect the other one. Actually, the Chiddushim HaMiyuchos in La Rashba explains that even if they are connected, a thought of pigle, Rabbi Yossi is talking about even when they're connected, but he has in mind only one particular aver, so like mentally he disconnected that aver from all the other ones. So you could say that based on that svara, says Rabbi Yossi that the pigle wouldn't extend to the other one. The Boisei Makra, or you could say, says Rabbi Huna, we have a posik that expresses this idea. The posik says, V'anefesh echeles mimenu, although a person who eats from it, from pigle, Avoyna Tisa is going to bear its guilt, and is going to be Chayim Kores, from which we can learn, Mimenu v'loy mechaveroi, not if he eats it, not from the other one. So the Chum actually will say that, on the contrary, Mimenu means any part of it that he eats is going to be Mechayim Kores. But according to Rabbi Yossi, Mimenu implies only from it, not from the other one. Okay, so the Gemara says Esved of Nachman Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna, but we learned we have a brisa that expands on our Mishnah about the business with the two kvasim and the shtei alechem v'chamrim la'olam ein beikaris el ad shi'fagel v'shtei and v'kazayis. He's only going to be chayiv kares for eating the shtei alechem as pigle only if he had a thought of pigle v'shteihen in both about both of the lechem upon him that he's going to eat them both v'kazayis at least one kazayis of them. B'shtehen ein, implying only if you had in mind about both of them. So he had in mind even, let's say it could be a half kazayis of one, a half kazayis of the other, but they're both dover shadakta lechel, so that would combine, but ba'achas mehen loy. But if he had in mind only about one of them, then no. Now mani, now this is braisa that I'm quoting, who would it go according to of the two opinions in our Mishnah? If you're going to say it's according to the Rabbanon, can't. They said clearly in the Mishnah that even if he has in mind a thought of pigle about only one of them, then both of them become pigle. Obviously, this braisa must be according to Rabbi Yossi. And now let's consider. You're telling me that Rabbi Yossi holds that if he has in mind one part of the korban to eat chutzas manah, then the other part doesn't become pigle. But if this braisa is according to Rabbi Yossi, and apparently of necessity it has to be, because it certainly can't work with a chamim or a mishnah. If you say that the right and left thigh are considered one guf, and he makes one of them pigle, and then the other one automatically becomes pigle, mishum hachim etzara. And that explains, well, yeah, then they combine together, and therefore you had in mind about a whole kazayas, and therefore the whole thing becomes pigle. So you could say, in other words, because you would say when he has a combined thought about both of them, he has in mind to eat a kazayas between the two of them, then the fact that he combined them in his machshava can be considered to be one guf. The only reason why he would say by the chalas and the lechem upon him of our Mishnah is because they didn't come from one guf. And since he's also having in mind for them to be separate, then it wouldn't work. In other words, Rav Nachman is saying the implication of that braisa is it has to be either one or the other. Either they came from the same guf, or he has in mind as if they were the same guf. Eli, I'm at Shei Gufin, you know, but if you tell me that the two thighs are considered to be two separate gufin, and one of them doesn't affect the other one, Mimit Starfi, then how would they combine together? If you were to consider that they're not intrinsically the same thing, because each one is a separate aver, and like we said before, he's considered like he mentally disconnected it from the other, and in fact, therefore, he's not connecting it, then why would one of them then why would one of them affect the other? And therefore, so why would it be that? Why would it be that that only if he had in, that only if he had in mind by both if he had in mind to eat a kazayas combined from the two shtei alechem, then it would be pigul. Why if he has in mind only one of them, and the braisa is implying that it would, that the other one wouldn't be pigul, so why would it be? That seems to only work only if we say that when it comes to two parts of an animal, because they came from the same animal and they are connected, therefore that's enough to make them considered pigul. Well, by the same token, when it comes to the shtei alechem, even though they started out as two entities, he has in mind about the two of them together, and therefore they become one. So looking at it that way, it comes out that you can't say that Rav Yossi is saying with two parts of an animal that it should, that one becoming pigle should not cause the other one to become pigle, because then that wouldn't explain this case of the two chalas. That's a point of Rashi. Tosfos brings a bit of a different way of understanding the question. If you say that two thighs of an animal are considered one goof, and he has in mind pigle of one, then automatically the other one becomes pigle. Then when we combine them together, they become one goof. But if you say that even two thighs are considered two gufim, what does it matter whether we consider later on, the Gemara is going to say that the Torah considers the two chalas to be one goof? Why would it matter if you're going to say that even two thighs are not considered one goof? How could two chalas be considered one goof? So that's the question. Therefore, so it seems so far, says Rav Nachman, it seems that your brice, it seems based on this brisa that you cannot say that Rav Yossi is saying what you're attributing to him, that two thighs of an animal you have in mind, two body parts of the animal you have in mind, the thought of chutzas manoy on one, it won't affect the other. It doesn't seem to work. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll contend, we'll reconcile, and we'll work out that opinion, and we'll continue discussing this point about pigul across two different things.